What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy asked former New Yorkers if there's anything they miss about life in New York City.
Let me put it this way. House with a home theater sounds appealing. But that's until you realize you no longer have a theater district.
Whether you're looking to rent or it's time to buy, StreetEasy has the local expertise you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Chris Ronchi, Amy Marks Kors, The Chris and Amy Show.
Check it out. St. Louis, Mound City, we are going to have a great day today.
On 104.1 FM.
Let's take it from the top.
KMOX.
It's The Chris and Amy Show, the show you can fit in your pocket.
Actually, you can.
With the Odyssey app.
With the Odyssey
That's
app.
That's right.
Take it with you wherever you go. Take KMOX with you wherever you go. If you want to listen to Cardinals baseball later on, well, actually not today. They're off today. Tomorrow, you can listen to it with the Odyssey app. How about that? They play in San Diego. 314-436-7900. Good morning to you. We are glad you are part of our day, and we're glad to be part of yours, too. Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock. You heard Tom Ackerman talking about the trade deadline. It is today at 5 o'clock, so there is programming throughout the day, keeping you updated on what else the Cardinals might do. Watch us on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter. Our Twitter account is at ChrisAmyKMOX.
Time now for the top of the order. The top three stories everyone will be talking about.
Yeah, St. Louis County Executive Sam Page. We were talking about him yesterday and the potential impropriety. Well, apparently it was enough for a grand jury indictment, which came down yesterday afternoon.
Indicted. And Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri sponsors a bill to ban stock trading among lawmakers. It received a lot of support from his Democrat colleagues, not so much from President Trump.
Oh, you got to be kidding with that.
Cardinals lost to the Marlins last night 2-0, but the story is they have made trades already. The Cardinals have been active at this trade deadline. So Ryan Helsley traded. He is off to the New York Mets. Steven Matz has been traded. He is off to the Boston Red Sox. And I would imagine more to come. We know Eric Fetty has already been dealt. So that's things are rolling. And as you heard Ackerman say just a couple of minutes ago during that report, it apparently is true. The Cardinals continue to be open for business. Bob Nightingale, who covers baseball for USA Today, also saying that Lars Nootbaar, Brendan Donovan, Alec Burleson have all received trade interest. That does not mean all of them or any of them will be dealt. It just means that they are on the table. Yeah. So if they are getting interest, the Cardinals have discussed them with other teams. Again, doesn't mean that any of them are going to go anywhere, but I think it gives you some insight as to where the Cardinals are right now, where their thought process is. We knew they were going to make deals. We knew they were going to make trades. But the question is, how far are they willing to go? And who are they willing to give up? And it kind of sounds like just about everybody's on the table.
Yeah. So, no, it does. From the Mets' point of view, I feel like it was a good trade. I know Helsley's been struggling, but maybe a change of scenery. Maybe that bump, the new team bump, kicks in for him.
Yeah, maybe.
And, I mean, going to the New York Mets, and they gave up lower league prospects.
Yeah.
Like, they weren't giving up top prospects.
Right,
they're giving maybe a couple of them make it to the big leagues. We don't know. You know, one or two. But I do think that was a good move for the Mets. With Steven Matz, I asked you, I'm like, man, what time did the news come out about him being traded? And you said you thought it was
like midnight. About midnight. The Cardinals sent out a press release at 11:45.
Okay. Did you?
I didn't see it because I was...
Well, that's what I mean. If you're Steven Matz...
I was going night-night.
Do you go to bed?
Well, no, they let you know. Okay, so the way it would work is he would have known well before that because they made the trip to San Diego yesterday, and there's no way he got on the plane.
Yes.
You know, he's not getting on the plane to go to San Diego and find out midair he's been dealt.
This is off-season in the NHL, so it doesn't really translate, but it kind of rocked my world. Because you know our very own Joey Vitale, the radio analyst for the Blues, the St. Louis Blues, he was traded for Pavel Datsyuk. Yes, the Hall of Famer. Now, Pavel Datsyuk was ending the end of his career, but he was traded for Pavel Datsyuk, and Joey Vitale found out by reading the ticker on ESPN.
Oh, nobody called him.
And he saw his name.
That does happen,
and they
apparently,
say that happens
sometimes.
In the NHL. Now, you would know better than I do about Major League Baseball. Again, this is off-season NHL, but I've talked to a couple of guys who said they, on the trade, you know, while the trades are being made or even during the trade deadline, they'll watch the ticker on ESPN and see if their name pops up.
That's just really bad representation. That's not typical. It does happen sometimes where it falls through the cracks. But usually players are made aware before everybody else is made aware. Sometimes what will happen is agents or teams will try to contact the player and can't get a hold of them. And the teams will, you know, they'll hold off as long as they can, but they can't hold off forever, right? So, if a player becomes unreachable because they're on a beach somewhere, they're just not answering their phone, nothing you can do about that. You know, you can't wait forever.
And just as a side note, if you missed yesterday's show, you can listen on the podcast. I had a great conversation, the whole show, but with John Rooney. And Ronge, you brought up, who was the guy that was traded mid-game?
Oh, there was a reliever.
To the team they were playing?
Blue Jays and Rays. He was traded they had a split doubleheader, and he was traded between games. And he just walked across the other.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's convenient.
Oh, it's super easy.
It doesn't get any more convenient than that.
I'm pretty sure that has happened before, and I want to say it's happened recently where in the middle of a game, a player got traded from one team to the other. If I'm not mistaken, that could be wrong. I have this vague memory of it, but yesterday or 2 days ago, that's what happened. There was a reliever who played for one team, got traded, and then, you know, just was on the roster for the other team across the field later on that day.
Brian's watching on YouTube. He said, wasn't Joey Vitale finished playing and was traded for cap considerations? Yeah, it was primarily a paper trade because it was moving around salary money, the same with like Pavel Datsyuk and Joey Vitale. And it was literally a kind of a paper trade, but I think it's funny.
It's
funny when Joey tells it.
Yeah, because it feels like
an
insult,
that's me.
I guess.
Yeah.
Because they didn't think highly enough of me to tell me about it. They just wanted me to find out by watching TV.
Again, I apologize. This is hockey and not baseball. But Chris Draper, famously for the Detroit Red Wings, was traded for a dollar to the Red Wings. Yeah, for a dollar. And he proved that trade wrong, but he said he took that personally.
Well, I would too, but you traded me for a buck?
Yeah.
That's not good. That poor guy. So Steven Matz, you know, you mentioned the three prospects the Cardinals got in return. Not really sure what they'll turn into. They are prospects. This Blaze Jordan fella, who is an infielder, corner infielder, that the Cardinals got from the Boston Red Sox for Steven Matz, he could turn into something. I don't know. We'll see. But, you know, he's already 22 years old. He's getting close to being 23. So maybe he could be useful at some point. I don't know. I guess it's true that any of these guys could end up being useful, but I don't know a ton about them. Haven't seen them play, but the Cardinals getting prospects in return. And I think we should know that or understand that depending on who gets dealt here, you're not going to get massive returns for a lot of these players.
John Hancock. You know John Hancock of
I've
Hancock and Kelly.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, are going to be at Forest Park with us tomorrow from 9 a.m. to noon alongside Jerry Kelly, Heating and Air Conditioning and Electrical. We're going to be broadcasting live from Forest Park. And because it's Friday, Hancock and Kelly will be on the premises. John Hancock texted in and said it was John Gant.
John Gant.
Yes.
I remember John Gant.
John Gant that was
90s.
Traded.
Yes. So here's what we're going to do. When we throughout the course of the day, you should know that Ackerman will be with us through the morning. So if anything does break, he's going to have hourly updates. But if anything does break, we will have Tom Ackerman with us today. I'll let you know about the trade deadline. Then in the afternoon, Matt Pauly will be updating the afternoon show. So basically, you don't have to go anywhere today because we'll if you want to know what's happening with the trade deadline with the Cardinals, if something breaks, we're going to have it here on KMOX. We have the Gas House Gang at 12 o'clock, Bernie Miklas and me. So we're going to be covering that for sure. Then Redbird Rush Hour at 5 o'clock today because the deadline is 5. So at 5 o'clock when the Redbird Rush Hour starts, we will know all the deals being made. Yes, Amy, you are
busting to say something. Don't forget 11:30, Ryan Fagan.
Ryan Fagan will be joining us. Yeah. Ryan Fagan's going to join us at 11:30. We will talk to Matt Pauly. Prior to that, we'll talk to him at 10 o'clock. So we're going to get plenty of trade coverage today. So we mentioned the development yesterday with County Executive Sam Page. He was indicted. We will discuss that, what is next, and how fun of a situation this is. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji, thank you for being with us on the Chris and Amy Show, 104.1 FM, KMOX.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I think the process should run its course. And the restitution should be decided by the legal system and what the judges and attorneys, the judges decide.
That's going to be left up. I'm going to leave that up to the judge. And if there's a jury trial, I'll leave it up to the jurors to decide what his punishment should be.
Those are St. Louis County Council members Shalonda Webb saying that the county executive should resign, and Councilman Dennis Hancock, who said he'll leave it up to the county executive. And of course, that is Sam Page, who was indicted yesterday by a grand jury for allegedly using public funds on this informational pamphlet about Proposition B earlier this year. So Page was indicted on four counts, two election offenses, which are misdemeanors, and then here are the big ones, the two felony counts of stealing by deceit in connection with the mailer. It was stealing more than $25,000. And in my head, you picture him grabbing some cash. But it was stamps. Out of the safe, yeah. But it was $30-something thousand dollars in postage. It was $36,000 on postage on an information flyer sent out to voters about Proposition B. And you can't do that.
Yeah, he was arguing against it, and you cannot use taxpayer money to do such a thing. I mean, you can make the argument against it publicly, but you can't pay for it, right? That's pretty much what this is all about. I mean, I suppose this is not taking $25,000 and buying a used Ford Escort, which probably wouldn't cost $25,000 for, you know, buying something for personal use. But it was a personal opinion that he had on this, a professional opinion. You can't do it. You just you can't use taxpayer money to say vote this way. And he doesn't have a whole lot of allies. We've talked about this. So it's not like he's getting a ton of support from the council. I think he has one person there. Who is supporting him or has been supportive of him recently?
As Lisa Clancy.
Yeah, but for the most part, he doesn't have it out there from Democrats or Republicans.
Yes, and again, I want to clarify. I said postage. It was the creating of the flyer and mailing it out. I don't want to ascribe all $36,000 to the postage, but it was creating these pamphlets. And yeah, I mean, to me, I'm. You know how when we say elected officials, you got to be so careful. Like our job, which is like, it's not that important.
Yeah, nobody cares.
We're just giving our stupid opinions all day, every day for way too long. Too many opinions. I'm offended by our job.
Yeah.
Even we are careful. Like, hey, you got to make sure everything's on the up and up. We can't even give away tickets to see a Billy Joel cover band. We can't because you can't.
It has to go through a process.
It has to go through a process that sometimes is so cumbersome and tedious that we're like, we can't do this. Because we want contest rules and lottery rules are insane.
A sidebar.
Yeah.
And it happens because people, you wouldn't believe it, but listeners complain.
They complain.
They file complaints. You would not believe it.
Yeah. So there are times that we would want to give away tickets, but we can't because the legal process is so long and cumbersome. And this is for our stupid little show. So you're the county executive. How do you make such a obviously dumb mistake, or maybe you just don't care? Because if you're using taxpayer money to try to sway voters about Proposition B being bad, I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer.
So
I'm not. And even I would know that might not be on the up and up.
So the argument from his side is the mailer was strictly for informational purposes and not to really sway opinions. And he was prompted to change a little bit of language in it prior to sending it out, but they didn't. They sent it out the way they allegedly they sent it out the way it had been originally printed. So they didn't change whatever language would have made this maybe a non-issue.
And remember, Proposition B would have given the county council the power to fire department heads that maybe Sam
Page
appointed.
Right.
And I believe they took out the language that would have allowed them to technically fire the county executive. That was taken out because that was even in the mix for a while. But this basically would allow the county council to fire department heads. And so you can see why Sam Page wouldn't want that. And again, like Ron said, they needed to change some of the language, but you can't send out flyers that give the impression that it's your choice to vote against Proposition B or to vote for the big, bad Proposition B. In the same way that those, don't you hate it when you're going to a website to shop for something, maybe clothes or furniture, and there's a pop-up that said, give us your email to save 20%. And then down below it says, no thanks, I'm a big, dumb idiot who likes to pay full price.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. I know exactly what you're talking about. No thanks.
No thanks.
I'll pay full price. Like, whoa.
No thanks. I hate saving money.
Yeah, things are going great for me. Yeah. I could pay full price.
It's so condescending.
It really is.
The Prop B pamphlet had a little bit like that. No,
it's kind of insulting. It is. Like, no thanks. I'm too stupid. I'm going to pay full price. is what they're basically saying.
Some of them, when they're trying to be edgier, literally say, like, no, like, I hate saving money. I had one of those.
Do you know what makes me happy about this situation, Amy?
I think I know. Can I guess?
Yes.
It is taking all the focus off of your beautiful sheriff.
No, well, okay, kind of.
Okay.
First of all, I want my sheriff to get as much attention as possible because
he's a beautiful sheriff.
I think it should be a household name, Alfred Montgomery, the St. Louis sheriff. But it's that it didn't happen in the city. Because I'm just so tired of city stuff happening, and then everybody else who lives in the area go, see, there it is. There's the city for you. They can't get out of their own way, which is true. But I'm just tired of hearing people who don't live in the city complain about the city. And this would have given them another thing to complain about and say, look, that government's corrupt.
I'm going to translate
it. I'm so happy.
In Ranj tweeting as Donald Trump. All caps. St. Louis County Executive Sam Page had state troopers show up
quotations.
At his Clayton office in Clayton at the St. Louis County offices. You would focus on that so much. It would be all caps.
Yes, although I would have put Sam Page in quotation marks for some reason.
You would have called
County
him
Executive Sam Page.
Scam Page. Scammy Sam.
Scam Page is
scammy,
good.
Scammy Scam.
There it is. That's what he would have called him. The president would have called him. Do you think the president knows who Sam Page is?
He paid for postage, and I love the post office. We love it. It's a beautiful post office. Sorry, it's just fun.
But isn't it nice? Isn't it nice to have something that's not crazy, corrupt, or whatever, allegedly, that didn't happen in St. Louis City? I think it's great.
Here's what we need to do. One of the most famous, it's Hallmark famous, but one of the most used lead males in Hallmark, who is Canadian, because everything in the Hallmark Channel, right, is filmed in Canada. They use Canadian actors. But one of the lead actors, his name is Sam Page. And the last time that Sam Page was in a scandal, he had to pin a tweet. I am not the St. Louis County executive, wherever that is. He doesn't even know where St. Louis is. He's from Canada, this poor guy. I got to check on his Twitter because I bet he's getting blown up.
What an insult.
He said people were sending him like horrible tweets. He's like, I'm not the St. Louis County executive.
Sam Page, he's a Hallmark actor?
Google Sam Page Hallmark.
Okay. Well, I was going to try to find his Twitter account and see if he's getting any.
I wonder if he got rid of it.
Oh, my gosh. This is really great. I'll check it out.
Okay.
But we're going to continue to follow this story because Sam Page, the county executive, has been indicted. Thank you for not having this happen in St. Louis City. And also, save our sheriff. My sheriff. Save my sheriff. Do not come for Alfred Montgomery. Text messages to 314-436-7900. And this text message regarding the trade deadline says what Ranj might be remembering somewhat recently was a player who started a game on one team. Game was rain delayed to be finished at a later date. He was traded to the other team before they resumed the game. I believe that was Danny Jansen. And Sean Malone from the KMOX newsroom was listening to the segment and came in and told us about Danny Jansen, which I now remember. So thank you to the text messenger and to Sean Malone, who's on top of all of the stories here in St. Louis and on top of sports trades. So he's multifaceted. Amy Marks Kors and Chris Ranji. Senator Hawley voted in favor of a bill that would prevent Congress people and the vice president and president from trading individual stocks. Mm-hmm. And the current president didn't like it so much. We're going to discuss that when we come back on KMOX.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Street Easy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie. But since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let Street Easy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. Street Easy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sachs.
The information that members of Congress are privy to is technically not covered by the insider trading laws, but nobody really believes that the information that we get isn't valuable. It is quite valuable, which is why back during COVID, you saw members of Congress of both parties engage in a flurry of stock trading right after they were getting COVID briefings. Were members of the public getting those briefings? They were not. Were members of the public privy to the kind of information that was being given to members of Congress? No, they were not.
It is a great point. It is the point. It's something, Ranj, that you've talked about a lot. That was Senator Josh Hawley as he introduced the Pelosi bill that would bar members of Congress and their spouses from trading stocks. He named it, of course, after Representative Nancy Pelosi of California. She has come under a lot of scrutiny because her husband has been trading extensively. Now, as we note, extensively trading without hard evidence of insider information. I feel like it's hard to believe that spouses aren't talking about what's going on in Congress. And the fact that Nancy Pelosi is now worth over $500 million leads me to believe that she, like other members of Congress, are capitalizing on what they know. They know what contracts are in the pipeline. They know which companies are going to maybe face some tough regulations, are going to sign massive contracts with the government. And I think Josh Hawley is right on this.
For her part, she did endorse the bill, by the way.
Yes.
So she's in favor of this. And it has been renamed, I guess, the Honesty Act. Instead, it was the Pelosi Act, just to take a dig at her. And she acknowledged that, you know, it's clever, great, whatever. But the bottom line is this. I don't care if it's Nancy Pelosi or Kelly Loeffler in Georgia who did the exact same thing.
Marjorie Taylor Greene
right after COVID. It has happened on both sides of the aisle. How many people do you know? Let's put it this way. If you were to walk out onto the street and find 10 people, you're in St. Louis, you might have difficulty finding 10 people. But if you find 10 people and you ask them, do you think Congress people, the president, the vice president, mm-hmm. senators, should they all be allowed to trade individual stocks knowing that they get information the rest of us don't? I bet 10 of them would say no.
Yeah.
This would be a universally popular law if they put it into place.
I mean, when you're talking about these massive multi-million, billion-dollar deals with individual companies and you're trading individual stocks, you're telling me that these Congress people are going home and saying, no, honey, I'm not going to mention at all any of the things that we talked about today. And I'm not going to say to make a trade or two. It is absolutely insane to think that the information that people in Congress have is not being utilized in trading. It would be naive.
It's crazy naive. Yeah, there's no question about that.
If I winked at you and was like, man, if I just wink at Ranj and we could make $100 million, you think I'm not going to do that?
Well, if I learned something like, hey, we're about to announce this huge semiconductor mm-hmm. bill or something. I would put it the other way around. If you held on to a stock that was going to have some sort of, I don't know, restrictions placed on that industry, I would probably be stupid to not dump some of that stock, would I not? If I knew that maybe profits would go down,
you know,
I why would I not do that? You know, if I knew about it ahead of time, would I just lose money? I don't think I would. I think any human would probably say, well, I better get to my broker and do something. I better get to E-Trade and figure this out, because you're not going to voluntarily lose money. But the rest of us don't have access to that same information. And that's what just for example, and she's not the only one, but Kelly Loeffler did with, it was Zoom. It was like the teleconferencing technology, mm-hmm. because there was prior knowledge that all of these companies and all these restrictions were going to start to be placed for COVID, mm-hmm. and that people were going to start to work from home. And there was I better get into telecom because people are going to work from home and they're going to do Zoom calls. So that stock shot up, right? And to know that ahead of time, why would you not act on it?
If I were Martha Stewart, I'd just fund my own ads, like talking about this bill.
Oh, yeah.
And just trying to get the word out. Because remember, everyone says, well, Martha Stewart went to jail for insider trading. No, she actually was never even convicted on insider trading. She was convicted of lying to investigators about a purchase of a stock. It's always the lie that gets you.
It is.
And she went to jail, and I do feel like when you think of all the things that people have done in this world, I feel like they were making a point with Martha Stewart. Like, we're going to send her to prison. Well, what about all of these Congress people? I guarantee you that what a lot of these people in Congress have done is way worse than what Martha Stewart did.
I bet that cell smelled of cardamom. I bet it smelled really good in there.
If I had to go to prison, like if I were Steve Stenger and I went to one of those, you know, white-collar crime prisons. He was in South Dakota. Side note, not important and weird, but somehow like they had his prisoner number. You can find it, right? It's easy. And I would always check.
For
anybody.
Oh, you can find any inmate.
Yeah. So I would just check to see if he was still there. Not sure why. I mean, he's out now, but I'd be like, oh, look at there's Steve Stenger still in prison. But if you were him, now he's a man, but if you're in with Martha Stewart, aren't you kind of thinking like, hey, I could come out of this way better than I went in?
Oh, of course. You can learn so much.
You could learn so much.
Maybe you could become a partner with her.
You come out of prison.
Protect her in prison. Protect her from being shanked.
As a baker and a decorator.
Yeah. She rebounded nicely.
She does soil commercials now for Miracle-Gro, and she's best friends with Snoop Dogg.
She's doing okay.
Only one of those two has been to prison.
Now, the president is not happy with Josh Hawley and his vote in favor of this bill on Truth Social, saying in part, I don't think real Republicans want to see their president, who has had unprecedented success, targeted because of the whims of a second-tier senator named Josh Hawley. So that's how your president referred to Senator Josh Hawley, called him second tier, which is an insult. It is very clearly an insult. Hawley says that he met with the president after the fact and they had, quote, a nice meeting. So for what it's worth, that's what happened. Trump didn't like what Hawley did. And this is one of those. Josh Hawley has done quite a few things lately, or at least made public statements in favor of some ideas that I am in favor of. And this is absolutely one of them. Also, he's done things on the other side where he's saying we should do a $600 rebate to everybody except for people who voted for Joe Biden. That's that is a little odd, but I do think that this is a good one. This is a very good thing. And I don't know that the average person would be against it. In fact, I'm confident the average person would not be against it.
Yeah. I mean, I also think we've talked about the allure of power and how enticing it is to have money and to be a star and to be driven everywhere and to be feted at parties in Washington and everywhere you go, because a normal 80-year-old would want to spend some time with their family, maybe step away from a high-stress job. I know a lot of people we talk to are excited about retirement. So why is it that senators and representatives would rather die in office, decrepit and sometimes halfway or less there mentally, than go home and spend time with their families? Like I said, I mentioned the allure of power. I mentioned it's a high to be driven around everywhere and have a motorcade and be feted at fancy restaurants. But also, maybe because you can make a pretty good living knowing what's going on.
Well, I think it's that for some people, but I also think it is, there is a lot of narcissism that exists, and it's this feeling, and I think Joe Biden had this in him, that he legitimately felt he was the only one who could beat Donald Trump. He was the only one who could fix this or fix that. I think that sometimes you've been in this position for a long time, and you've had success as a legislator. You probably do start to believe that nobody else can do it. It has to be me. I am the one who, by the way, everybody begged him to run in 2016 and he didn't want to. He refused to. It went poorly for the Democrats. I don't think that didn't play into his mindset either, where, you know, He didn't. They didn't win in 2016, but he came in 2020 and saved the day. So he probably thinks,
yeah,
only I can do it. I'm the one here. And I guarantee you there are a lot of people in Congress, in the Senate, who feel the exact same thing, that only they can fix a problem.
So regarding Senator Hawley, and like we said, he is a populist, right? And he has pushed forward with a lot of those initiatives that appeal to, yes, the Republican Party now, but also to Democrats and traditional Democrats. And after the tornado, he was calling out insurance companies and telling them that they better step up. They need to pay these people. He'll be breathing down their necks. He was breathing down the necks of big tech and the monopolies that big tech has. Boeing. he went after Boeing, mm-hmm. Which is tricky because it's his state, right, where they are. But he went after Boeing. He was so vocal, and he's been adamant when it comes to the Westlake landfill and Coldwater Creek and the RECA Act, making sure that people are compensated for the damage done by the government as they developed the nuclear bomb. And now you see him with this initiative to stop insider trading. I think on theme, insider trading or trading, I should say, among Congress people, because right. They might have insider trading. I think we need to get Senator Josh Hawley on the Ameren thing. What's going on? We're not getting a straight answer from Ameren.
It's not just Ameren, Missouri. It's happening in Illinois, too.
Yes.
I just was talking to family and a couple of family members, and they both have had theirs spike. Like dramatically,
it's so much
compared
money, Ron,
to last year in July. It's not, this is not like a, well, yes, of course, it was more expensive in July than June because it was warmer in July. No, this is more expensive than it was the prior year. Something is not right here. And somebody needs to figure it out with Ameren, because my guess is there will be a breaking or some sort of tipping mm-hmm. point that happens in the next several weeks. And something changes. I don't know what that's going to be, but this is not sustainable. People can't have their energy bills go up 40-50% or more. It's not 500%. Sustainable.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's not. And like I said, when the Missouri Public Services Commission approved the 12% rate hike in the state,
yep.
Ameren said it will average out to about $12 per household. It's not at all. People are seeing bills that are doubled, tripled, quadrupled. Fox 2, as I mentioned, had several customers showing them their bills, saying, look, here was $120. And now this is $395.
Well,
and I understand that it's technically cheaper than medical bills, but to me, to express the impact that such a heavy monthly increase in rate will hit with people is that it feels like a medical bill, a medical right. emergency. It hits you. You didn't plan for it.
And you have no choice but to pay it.
You have no choice but to pay it. It messes up your budget. Mm-hmm. You can't, how do you pay for groceries? Hundreds of dollars per month more is a devastating, potentially devastating impact on people.
Either Ameren, these energy companies around the country are going to have to answer for this and figure it out, or the government's going to have to step in and do something about it. And I know this president campaigned on lowering costs for people. Mm-hmm. My personal opinion is maybe we should be spending less money on all this immigration stuff and throwing people into some prison that's not even in the country, and focus on stuff like this, because this does matter to people every single day, every single household.
Yeah.
This is the kind of stuff that matters. Focus on this.
So if you are Josh Hawley and you're listening... First, thank you for listening. If you know Josh Hawley or connected
with Josh
Hawley.
If you are listening, get to work, dude. Don't be listening to us.
No, he can listen at work. That's what Harambe does.
He needs to be paying attention.
Harambe listens
to work. Harambe needs to be paying attention to work.
Oh, that's
his work is suffering.
Oh, look who's done a 180.
I know.
You're always telling people to mail it in.
That's also true.
At any rate, unless you're Sam Page, don't mail it in with taxpayer dollars.
Uh-huh. You'll go to jail.
You'll go to jail.
Potentially.
Senator Josh Hawley, can you look into this?
Yes, please.
What's
look
going
into
on?
This.
Now, did you see this with Chris and Amy?
Ranj, I know you saw this, and I hope I'm not stealing it from you, but High Noon, you know, the seltzer drinks.
Yes, yes, yes.
They made a mistake.
Yeah.
They made a mistake. So,
well, High Noon's not the energy drink. High Noon is the vodka
seltzer.
Vodka seltzer.
Now,
and they are delicious.
Celsius is an energy drink.
Yes.
It's the same company. So High Noon had to recall some of its vodka seltzer drinks because they accidentally mislabeled them as Celsius. Meaning, if you're waking up, you're going to work, it's 8 a.m., and you need a little bit of energy, and you glug a Celsius, it could be vodka.
Dude, okay.
They accidentally labeled them as Celsius energy drinks, which do not contain alcohol. It says consumption of this liquid in these cans will result in unintentional alcohol ingestion. They were sent to stores in New York, Florida, Michigan, Virginia, South Carolina, Ohio, Oklahoma, and Wisconsin between July 21st and July 23rd.
Oh, no. So here's my question, and I think it's probably the question everybody else would have.
Okay.
If you drink a Celsius in the morning instead of coffee, what if you drive to work? Maybe you have two of them.
Right.
Is it possible that you get drunk?
Yes.
You'd be blitzed. And not know it? And you get pulled over? And you get a DUI? Has there been a single case in the country that we are aware of yet of a person getting pulled over and a DUI after drinking Celsius or thinking that's all they had, but it turned out there was booze in it? Because that is a, first of all, that's a huge lawsuit. It has to be.
Yeah.
I don't know how you'd prove it.
Someone tweeted out, like, class action lawsuits. You know,
lawyers
start your engines.
Oh, absolutely. So, that is a huge mistake.
Honest question. Now, you know, I drink coffee, but let's say, I mean, I run, right? We talked about sweating.
Yep.
I'm sweating. I'm running. I'm in a hurry. I grab a Celsius. I drive to work, and I'm chugging that Celsius. Do you know how quickly I'd be drunk with no breakfast, having run, having sweated, and, you know, not having eaten since dinner the night before? I don't know if I would think that I was having a heart attack or getting sick. What would you think is happening? Because it would never occur to me that there was alcohol in it.
I would not think that there was booze in it. I don't know. I might think that I need to go to the ER.
Yeah.
Because you know what it's like to be drunk. Well, you know.
I don't.
But a lot of people do.
If you
started to get that feeling and all you've had is an energy drink, you probably get really concerned.
I think I would, because I think I would get lightheaded. Because I can tell you this, a friend of mine did the Iron Man, like the real Iron Man,
yeah.
Which takes, you know, it took him like 11 hours. And he said he took a few sips of beer afterwards and had to stop because he goes, it felt like I had just taken done like 5 shots.
Oh.
Because he was so dehydrated that it went right to his bloodstream.
I had one time where this was years ago, I had had a Saturday afternoon shift because I had to work. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I went out with a lady friend for a minute for lunch. We had, and she's like, let's have a couple of beers. So I had a couple.
Yeah.
I had like 2 beers, like literally just 2.
Yeah.
And then got dropped off at work at like 5 o'clock. And when I walked in, I was like, dude, I'm feeling it.
Yeah.
Like this is probably not great.
Yeah.
It was okay. It was fine. But it's, I can't imagine if you're not expecting that. And then you have that feeling, you probably do think you're sick.
Yeah.
So for me, if I have an energy drink or if I have a couple of them, and we know people here who drink multiple Red Bulls or multiple Celsiuses or whatever, you start to feel really jittery after a couple. So I would know if I'm jittery, I would know, OK, I've had too much energy drink. If I started to feel drunk, I would think something was wrong. So at any rate, you know, the show Love is Blind.
Uh-huh.
Well, this is, I meant to get to this the other day and I wasn't able to, but Love is Blind is coming to St. Louis. They are casting in St. Louis. So the show is hosted by Nick and Vanessa Lachey.
And Nick Lachey.
Nick Lachey. I love Nick Lachey.
He's
used to be married to Jess.
Band.
Yes. 98 Degrees or O-Town. I can't remember. I think it's 98 Degrees.
Yeah.
And used to be married to Jessica Simpson. So this is a social experiment show where people try to fall in love without having seen each other.
Okay.
And then they can propose. You can propose to somebody that you have not seen yet. And then after the proposal, if it's accepted, then they reveal what the person looks like. So it's called Love is Blind. So they're going to be casting here in St. Louis.
So here's my question. With all reality shows, they act like they pick normal people. but all these people are very good looking. Is love and blind? Love is blind. Are they all generally pretty good looking?
I've actually not seen it.
I've not seen it either.
So I don't know.
Like, it's not normal people on these shows. Bachelor, Bachelorette, Love Island, whatever. Bachelors in Paradise?
Yeah, I don't think there are any ogres on it.
Well, you wouldn't know.
No.
Until it was too late. Quick note, great news for us. Well, just on the YouTube stream. YouTube loosened its profanity rules, which means creators now, they can cuss and swear within the first 7 seconds of a video and still monetize video.
Wait, where is this?
YouTube.
Oh, on YouTube. Okay.
Yeah. So generally, in 2022, YouTube changed the rules so that if you swore in the first 8 to 15 seconds, you could potentially be ineligible for any ad revenue. But now, you can cuss right away.
Good. That's a silly rule. Why would that be? Why would you not? I don't know. The whole monetization rules and standards, I don't really get them when it comes to YouTube and Instagram and all that stuff. I know that if you're watching reels on Instagram or on TikTok, you see these really silly ways of censoring words so the algorithm doesn't kill their videos.
Like, a lot of them are like sex related.
Instead of rape, they'll say grape. They'll call it grape.
Yeah. Or which is unalive.
Unalive instead of killed.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
Or they just, cross it out.
Yeah.
You know, but whether it's violent or sexual, they have ways to get around the algorithm.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
StreetEasy knows former New Yorkers never stop talking about how much they miss living in NYC.
Life used to feel like a movie, but since we left and bought a house, it's like living in a DIY home repair video.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the right agent you need to never leave NYC. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.